Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Can we share a word of prayer? My Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for your beautiful people, your children that you have paid so much price to redeem and to raise, and the thoughts you have towards them which are good. I give glory to your name for the things that you have been doing in their lives and through them. I bless you for this work in this house. I come in your name to join you to do the work you are doing here. I ask for grace even today to speak as an oracle of the Spirit, to address the issues that need to be addressed in the name of Jesus. The word you give to me, I'm asking that it will come fresh, that Lord, you will activate a repentance, a change of heart, that men and women may come into alignment in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your servant and the work he is doing here. I pray that you will help me not to build and not to destroy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Eternal Father. Give you glory because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please have your seats. God bless you. Once again, thank you for coming this morning. I will do my best to stay within the time allotted to me because I know there's going to be a second service, but God helping me. If I don't finish, your pastor will finish the message. Hallelujah. Since I knew I was coming here, I've been asking God, what will I speak? Or what should I speak about? And I got no answer until I woke up this morning. And I want to speak to us. I don't know how you're going to title it, but essentially I want to talk to us about your heart. What kind of heart do you have? Because you need to interrogate this matter, and you need to be conscious of the dangers of your heart. Hallelujah. The heart of a man is not as simple as you think it is. And if you look at everything about God's dealings, the heart is the core of the activities of heaven. One of the things that God is doing is dealing with that issue called heart. In Psalm 8, verse 5, if I'm not mistaken, yeah? Okay. Take from 4. I'm reading I don't know the name of this translation, LSB. I know you don't have it. But KJV says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? I perceive that question has not yet been answered. Man has not been able to understand what man is. And man could only be very important for Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, to leave heaven and come here to die for him so that he may be rescued. That means there is something that God created that not even the angels know what he made. He alone knows what he made, and he called him man. That means that there is something about you that it's so, so, so important for the Son of God to come die for you. Hallelujah. And then when I listen to people pray, and people pray and say, Father, make me what you want me to be. Only for me to realize that many people don't even know what God wants them to be. And I consider that prayer not only a foolish prayer, but a prayer that shows that you have no understanding. And we cannot continue like that. We cannot continue to pray prayers that are meaningless. It doesn't make any sense. And this morning, I want to talk to us about this this thing that is called heart. What is the problem? Now, you remember that when man fell, I've said it before, when man fell because of knowledge. I'm sure you know. Because the serpent said that the Bible says that tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you with me? Yes, sir. But you should also remember that every tree in that garden was producing fruit that had seed. That had what? Seed in it. And so it was not the fruit that killed Adam. It was the seed that killed Adam. Because as he ate it and digested it, whatever we want to look at it, a seed was planted somewhere. Am I communicating? And when that seed was planted, they said Adam died. In other words, that seed, because the seed is a custodian of life. The life of that tree is encoded in that seed. Amen. So what we saw was a kind of life that is called death. Because death itself is a life. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. When that thing was planted, it was planted somewhere. And the word of God says, as long as the earth remaineth, seed and harvest time will not cease. Hallelujah. It will not cease. So the question is, where was that seed planted? That seed was planted in the heart of Adam. And it began to produce after his kind. Because every seed must produce after his kind. So it was not called the sin of Eve. Because Eve did not have the capacity to produce that kind of life. Somebody had something inside of him that God put there, and that thing is called the heart. It's like the earth, the natural earth. Because the earth is where you plant a seed, it will germinate, right? The heart has, is that same kind of capacity to bear fruit. Amen. All you need is plant the right kind of seed. So what am I trying to say is that, you see, as God planted that garden was a pictorial image of the life of a man. The seeds you plant in the heart, you are supposed to produce a forest. Every revelation of God is a seed. Every truth of God is a seed. Am I communicating that as you receive it, it will produce after his kind? But man did not plant the right kind of seeds. He planted a seed that created death. Now, look at Genesis chapter 6. When God began to see the fruit of what man had planted in his own heart. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination, please pay attention, every imagination of what? Of the thoughts of his heart. It didn't say the thoughts of his mind. For out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says the mouth will speak. So what died? People said that, I don't know where we got that from. I think it was Egan that pushed that, or it was Kenyon and Egan. And the whole church took it. But I tell people, the spirit of man did not die when Adam ate the fruit. It was not the spirit that died. Because without your spirit, you have no right to stay in your body. Essentially, what makes you to stay in your body is that you have a spirit. That is the connecting rod between your soul and your body. Am I communicating? Man is not a spirit. Man is a soul that has a spirit. Because in the beginning, when God breathed into him, and he became a living soul, he didn't become spirit. Am I making sense? Something died in Adam. And that thing that died in Adam is what the Bible says is the source of the problem, which I will begin to show you as we go on. And so the Bible says the imagination of the thoughts. There is somewhere in you that generates imagination. That thoughts are generated. It's not your mind. Your mind processes what is generated and given to it. Am I communicating? Yes, if that thing does not generate, your mind has nothing to work with. Your mind is blank. So there's somewhere in you where certain things are generated. And when those things were generated, God began to say, what is coming out from this person is wickedness. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is wicked. And it is wicked continually. That means there was no capacity for any other seed to be planted again. Do you know the principle of weeds? There's no how. Do you know that nobody plants weeds? It just sprout on its own. And anything you plant, the weed will kill it. So the garden of man had been overridden, overtaken with weeds. And they are all weeds of wicked imaginations. That God looked at and said, Kai, what did I do? Why did I allow this? And the Bible says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Praise the Lord. The key to man, the key to unlocking man is in his heart. If you can take a man's heart, you have taken the whole man. And so Satan took over their hearts. And Satan began to use man against God. And God said, I will wipe out the whole human race. But thank God that did not finally happen. Noah stepped in, or Noah was available, and God had mercy on the human race. And they began to repopulate. But the scriptures tell us that that problem was never resolved. There was a man called Noah who had his sons, but we forgot that the wives of Noah's sons came from that depraved race. And so when they began to give birth again, that seed kept producing. That thing kept passing on. That thing kept passing on. And all of us, those of us who are married now, know that if a woman gives birth to a girl, it's not her fault. See, all of you now know. It's not our fault. Because they say, ah, we are talking about big girl, big girl. No, it's not our fault. We now know that it's the man that determines the sex of a child. So what is what you deliver that she uses? Because she is the womb of a woman, the natural womb of a woman is like the natural earth. It's what you plant that will produce for you. It is a seed that the man gives the woman that the woman will give back. In fact, science has found out that the child does not share anything from the mother. Nothing from the mother except food. That's all the baby shares. The chromosomes, the everything, the blood, the genetic problem came from the seed of the man. So if the man is weak, the child will be weak. Am I making sense? That was why it was not possible for God to bring Jesus through the natural means. Because he will share in the same genetic fallacy of fallen man. He had to be his own seed. So he will come over you, and what will come out will be called holy. So when you see Adam in heaven, he and Jesus will look alike. Because they came from the same one seed. Yeah. The same one seed. They will look alike. I'm saying, are you brothers? Yes, they're brothers. They are brothers. Am I making sense? Because God cannot allow that continuation to go through. Because if you see, hallelujah. I'm trying to be careful I don't run down any rabbit hole and follow rabbits this morning, because many things are just running through my mind, and I'm trying to stay faithful to this that I've come to do. Hallelujah. Our hearts are very important. And over time, if you go through the book of the prophets, you will see the issue of heart there. You know, the Bible spoke about Pharaoh. God said, I hardened his heart. Hearts can be hardened. Because what does it mean to be hardened? That means nothing can penetrate it. No revelation from God. No thought of God. God cannot sow any seed of kindness inside that heart. It can't grow. It's like you saying that I have a revelation. Let us plant maize on this tile. You know it will not grow. Even if you put water, it still will not grow. It's hardened. It won't grow. There's no way the seed can break through. So it can be hardened. And many people have hardened hearts. Hardened hearts. And they will not just fall in line with God. And usually you always find out that God is against those kind of hearts. Now, Joshua 14:8. I'm laying this foundation. Okay, right. Said, nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me, may the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. This was somebody giving a testimony. This was Joshua. No, it was Caleb that gave the testimony. Now, you remember the story, they were to go spy the land, which was a prophetic act for them to go see that whether the things God said were true or not. And they got there, they saw the land, they saw everything, but they also saw something else that they normally would have seen, which is a fact. They saw the sons of Anakims, the sons of the Anakims, massive giant things. I did a research, and you can go Google it, giants, you know. Google it and you see it. They've seen fossils, bones of men, not dinosaurs, bones of men. In fact, they took an aerial picture and I was trying to find out what was standing beside the bone. Maybe it was a toy caterpillar. The caterpillar looked like a toy from the aerial view. Men whose bones were 40 feet tall. So when the Bible said there were giants, they were real giants. They've seen their fossils scattered all over the Middle East. It's only the Middle East they see them. They don't see them in Nigeria. And you know, we don't see UFOs in Africa. You only see UFOs in America. Not even in Australia. Only America. So the aliens only record with America. The rest of us, we are not even here. But there is God. I know that when Tinubu gets his acts together, we start getting UFOs too. Praise God. So when they saw giants, they came back with a report and gave a report and said, yes, the testimony of God is true. The land is flowing with milk and honey. But about us taking that land, it is an impossible mission. It cannot be done. We saw the sons of the Anakims and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, as if they entered their eyes. And the Bible says that the heart of the people melted and they began to cry. Information can damage your heart. Yeah. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. You know why? It says, out of your heart proceeds the forces that fashions your life. So when you hear people say, destiny, destiny, it's nothing more than your heart. There is no demon in hell that can orchestrate your destiny. None. Even God can't do anything about it. Are you with me? God needs to capture your heart to change your destiny. What is me of destiny? It means destination. So if I want to have a predetermined destination for you, I must work on your heart for your heart to agree in faith and everything and chart a path to reach that goal. Hallelujah. So all of you waiting for a word. The word is already there. The Bible says the word is in your mouth. It's in your heart. Are you with me? What you are supposed to do is what? Speak it. The power of confession is that you keep speaking those words until your heart believes it. Once your heart believes it, it will channel a path for you. That's how powerful the heart is. But we are not working on our hearts. We want sovereignty to just go there and start clearing the way. It doesn't work like that. So if you want a good destination, work on your heart. Your heart has the energy, it has the capacity God has put in it for it to chart a path for you. Amen. And so how do you do that? You plant the right words. I shall not die but live. I shall not die but live. He that is with me is greater than that. And when those things become, once you speak and speak and those things enter your heart, you just know that things will just begin to part. Because creation was created. Are you with me? To respond to the word of God. When they see a man come and the word, because of the fruit and everything that he has accumulated in his heart, creation responds to him. Praise God. But we are too lazy. We want Chicken Republic results. Just put your dough and throw it in the oven, result comes out. It doesn't work with life. Even unbelievers know this. It's sad that the church is still lacking behind. But God will help us in Jesus' name. So the scriptures has told us about this heart. The heart of a man. The scripture says, Jeremiah says, the heart of a man is what? It's deceitful. It's deceitful. It is desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? You know your heart. You may be intelligent. Let me give you a story. I've shared it to church before. When I was about to graduate, now I was the secretary general in my fellowship. I was secretary general of the JCCF, and I was a big boy on campus. Hallelujah. Everybody looked up to me. No, when you're a big brother. You know, those of you who have been there, you understand. I can see that you have a clue. Hallelujah. Imagine us teaching on marriage. I look back and I say, God, thank you for having mercy. What did I know? We were given a word of knowledge, given everything, and we didn't know Jack. And so when I see students on campus, they're calling them father, daddy. What do I just look and shaking my head like that? And you don't know that your life has finished. It is well. I pray they come to their senses. But who can I blame? Yeah, I blame the fathers in the faith. They are the ones that allow all this nonsense. That somebody who is still supposed to be a president. He's a president of the fellowship. He's now daddy. Then the vice president is mommy. And then they want to do what daddy and mommy are doing. Jesus is Lord. So what was the story I was telling? I was in Unilag, remember? So, there was a call, a clearing call. Who will go for us? And who shall we send? The fellowship wanted missionaries. They wanted us to use 1 year to serve the Lord, to be missionaries. We call them traveling secretaries all over the country. And they needed me in Lagos because I had the advantage others did not have. I could drive. The Student Christian Movement had a bus and a new bus for that matter. And I'd driven the bus and they needed me desperately. One of those days I was praying, the Lord said, you will not be in Lagos. You are going to Gongola State, North. And I said, Lord, we have keyed this thing in. They have given us assurance. The Lord didn't say anything again. And when my posting came out, it was Gongola State. I was like, but they did the posting for everybody. When they came to my own, the NYC official said, they are not doing again. They must go to the north. But that was not the story of this, the moral of this gist. Because the main gist was that when they said, who will go for us? I was the only one that stood up in fellowship. And I said, I will give my 1 year to the Lord. And I turned around to see my other colleagues. And nobody raised his hand. And I was disappointed. That you cannot serve the Lord. You cannot give to the Lord. All your noise that I love the Lord. Now this is how to prove the Lord. So I became a champion. I was looking, I try you, I am giving God, I respect you. And I was, we and God work together, we talk together, we live together. It's a normal thing I should do for the Lord. So one day I went to pray. When I was praying, God said, you know, I did not send you. I said, is it not you that said we should go and preach? He said, I did not send you. Said, the people are dying. He said, before you were born, they were dying. After you die, they will still die. Ha! Wala wade. Oluwa. Ha! Eshanumi. Koribe. Sorry. He said, you did it because of your pride. You did it because of your ego. You did it because you wanted people to look up to you that you're a big jim, that you can do things. And I did not know how that kind of heart. I didn't know that was the thing that was running my actions. That the decision I made to offer myself to the Lord was an abomination to him. Ah, may you not stand before God. And God said, you did everything for yourself. May that not be your story in Jesus' name. Because the heart is deceitful. My heart deceived me to think I was doing the will of God. And so I talked to the Lord, have mercy. That's how I ended in Gongola. I guess the Gongola was, I will punish you. I ended up in Gongola. And when I got to Gongola, I began to see all kinds of demonstrations of spirits. It was there that I knew that Mami Water lives in human being. Have you heard about Mami Water before? When I was in school, all the light complexion sisters were mommy spirits. God help you, you are light complexion. The way we're looking at you, dear, this time you need demon spirit. Marine spirit. Yes, I'll find a way to do deliverance for her. Amen. I found out that dark complexion people had marine spirits. I even found that men have marine spirits. Ah, lay go. Ah, all kinds of things that my eyes saw in. And you see, I'm that one here. Helped my life. It altered many things in my mind. And I will not forget Brother Agbile Akoni, who came for our camp, NCCF, we're Nigerian Corpus Fellowship. We're not NCCC. I don't know if you got that. Well, we're just Corpus Fellowship. We had our four something. Reverend Addo came. I don't know if you remember Reverend Addo. Reverend demonstrated. He demonstrated Holy Ghost for 4 hours. I am Ija. Ah! We power, all kinds of demonstration of the Spirit. The whole church, the whole fellowship was shaking. We were jumping up. When Brother Billy Akoni came, we left that meeting crying. We cried. By the time he finished with us. And that thing changed the lives of every one of us in that set. When he talked about the heart, he said, do you know what they call excited level? Those of you have done physics. When atom is jumping up, After he has finished jumping up, he will come back to his normal state. He said, you are just jumping up in fellowship. When you step out of here, your normal state will show. And pastor began to deal with us. So I'm going to share with you what he taught us. Let's go to Matthew 13. And the sower went forth to sow. You know the story. Oh my. If you want to know my secret, that is it. I'm going to share it with you this morning. And the sower went forth to sow. And he spoke many parables unto them, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. Next verse, continue. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the what? Wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them. Next verse. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up. But because they did not have deepness of earth, what happened to them? When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The next one. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And then the next says, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Pay attention. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And then it's, what did he now say? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The sower went forth to sow. Remember that in the beginning, somebody sowed a seed. It was called the seed of the knowledge of good and evil. Since that day, we have been in this mess. And the mess is increasing every day until it will climax in the manifestation of the son of perdition, who will be the ultimate expression of wickedness. Tinubu is not wicked, though. Tinubu. No, there was a time we said that the definition of wickedness was a Buhari until Tinubu came. And if, so we call him T. Tipek or whatever it is. The one coming after him may be more wicked. They have said that Tinubu is a saint. Are you with me? The human race is degenerating. And only the power of God can arrest that decay. And if the church does not rise, the earth will decay. A man of God said, it is written in the word of God that all nations shall be turned into hell and all the peoples that forget God. Said the destination of all nations is hell. He said, but it will take the government to determine how soon they reach there. Are you with me? And it means that if you and I understand the power of governance in the spirit, we can slow down the decay. The time Nigeria will arrive at that point. But it's looking like we are getting there very fast.
All the people that should pray have jackpot. You know those who have jackpot don't remember to pray for you. They just say, "Ha, peleya, Olorun pelu." They are forgetting you. So you have to find a way of praying. And that's by the side. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the sower went forth to sow. And he said, the first earth that is sowed on. Can we look at the interpretation? Can you run and give me the interpretation? Because I need to. The interpretation. When they came to Jesus to ask for the interpretation. Are you there? Where? Okay. No. 13, 36, Abby. Is it 36? No, 18. Thank you. So hear then the parable of the sower. Now they came to him to ask, what is the explanation to what you just said? The people that heard it are confused. We too, we are confused. And even before 18, look at what Jesus Christ said when they came. He says, look at what Jesus Christ said. Verse, let me take for 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah has been fulfilled, which says, you shall keep on hearing. I'm reading another translation, LSB, but will not understand. You are hearing, but you do not what? Understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart, can you see? These are the things that the heart does. The heart is supposed to understand. The heart is supposed to do a perceive. These are the things that the heart does. Apart from the fact that it also can allow things to grow in it if they are not checked. It says, for the heart of these people has become what? Dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear and have closed their eyes. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Said, and I will heal them. So when a person is looking for God to change his life, many believe that the word that a prophet speaks is powerful. Yes, it is powerful. But listen to me, the sustainable one is when you hear, you understand. When everyone perceives your understanding, that you understand it, the Bible says they will step in and heal you. That is one that is sustainable. Are you with me? The word of the prophet is true. It comes from the Lord. But if you're going to sustain that word, then you must participate. You must come to the place of what? Understanding. Say, because they did not understand, I would have healed them. Then it went on. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes. I say, blessed are your eyes. Because they see. Do you know what the prayer that Paul made in Ephesians chapter 1? Said that the eyes, that was the first thing he said, that the eyes of your understanding may be what? Enlightened. It's key. Because if your eyes are not enlightened, there is no way your heart can understand. That's the key to your heart. And your ears, because they hear. For truly I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now this is the interpretation of it. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, hallelujah. You know, it shocked me to realize that many people in the church, when you ask them, what is the gospel? The best of them will say the gospel is the gospel of salvation. The gospel of the kingdom is not the gospel of salvation alone. The gospel of salvation is a subset of the gospel of the kingdom. Am I communicating? Go and read your Bible very well. You'll find that Jesus went about preaching about the kingdom. He was not going about preaching salvation. Are you with me? So there's so many things that are embedded in the kingdom. But one focal point about that gospel is that every kingdom has a king. Am I communicating? And where the word of a king is, what is there? There's power. A king does not... A king does not give suggestions. A king does not give advices. A king gives decrees. And to disobey is what do you call that? It's treason. The church have not understood the principle of kingship. We only know Jesus as our Savior. Have you heard people talk about, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? It doesn't work like that. Jesus must first be your Savior because he can be your Lord. So it should have been, is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Many only know Jesus as the Savior. They've not known him as Lord. When you know him as Lord, you can't do anything anyhow. Because the servant serves only the pleasure of the king. You know, the king can look at you and say, what film did I watch? Oh, there's one film I watched. Somebody was trying to say about how, I don't know whether it was a Russian, was it a film or somebody said it, like the head of state of a particular country was trying to show how macho, American something, my bodyguard can take a bullet for me. The Russian said, okay, no, this one will plunge on my behalf. You are going and die. It will roll over story buildings and jump down. So can your own bodyguard do that? Now, that kind of bodyguard is more dangerous to face than one that can take bullets. Am I communicating? That's how powerful the words of the king is. He says, jump, you jump. You don't query it. It's at his pleasure. And that's what many of us know about God. There are servants. You know, if you read the book of Hebrews 11, they said, what much shall we say about Gideon, about David, about Jephthah, and all those men? The Bible says, by faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They did many things. These are the testimonies we celebrate. But we forget that by faith, some people refuse deliverance. Some people walk through caves. Some people suffered a lot. The Bible says they were destitute. That was the way God wanted it for them. There were people that God wanted them to be heroes of faith. You know, did mighty things. There were people that they were to do no nothing and let them waste away. It was the same God orchestrating the same thing. I don't know why I'm making sense here. All you have been told is that God is a good God. He has always remained good, but God can waste you for the sake of his own sake. That's why he's king. He can choose how he wants to end you. He can choose. How did he end Brother Peter? He said, when you were a kid, you went anywhere you wanted to go. You went anywhere. So when you're old, somebody else will lead you. Thus signifying the way you will die and glorify God. What was glorifying in that kind of death? I heard about a church that cut off a brother. They cut off that family because that family suffered a catastrophic loss. They lost a member of their family. And the church does not want to show that they have those kind of testimonies. So they cut him off so that he will not be a bad testimony. Because in their church, they're always victorious. Nobody dies. Nobody has any loss. Once you have a loss, they're cutting you off. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The king can decide anything about it. It is the same king that made the rich man. It was the same king that created Lazarus. Am I communicating? I believe he did those things in order to see how the two of them react. He made one prosperous, he made one poor. Now, this is my own theory. Are you with me? You go and preach it and you get in trouble. There's a disclaimer. Amen. Because there are certain things that babies will not be able to appreciate. But I'm only letting you know that when we talk about the king, you must know how powerful a king is. When you say he's my Lord, then you have written off your right to anything about your comfort or your life and how your life is going to play out. He can decide to waste it. He can say, my friend, go to Sarah this and go stand there and just be saying Jesus is Lord until the day you perish there. Now, somebody may look at you and say, you're a fool. Of course, they will say you're a fool. But when you stand in glory, God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You now say, but Lord, what did he do? He obeyed my voice and went to the desert and just stood there and was doing exactly what I told him to do. So can you as a church recognize when your brother or sister is doing what God wants him to do? I remember the time my wife had the set of twins. She was pregnant. We had done the scan. That was the time we were doing scan. It just started coming out then. And the man, who was supposed to be an advanced and experienced gynecologist, said we had only one. And we thank God, at least she's pregnant. That's okay. That's what is important. Hallelujah. So that I can go to church and say, praise God. Hallelujah. And months went on. When months went on, around the 6 month, she began to cough. We took blood tonic. We took cough mixture. We took Mabara. We tried to cook everything, everything. No, nothing cured it. And her cough got worse. And one of our friends, the family came, sat us down, and they began to counsel us. Said, this problem definitely is like a judgment. What is the sin you have committed, the secret sin? So that we can pray with you. I was like, what did I do? And it was not a funny matter. It was serious. So serious counseling. I was about 2 hours, Abby. I took a vigil. I said, I've done nothing, and I don't know any sin, my wife. You know, when Pastor, when you were talking, well, do you know any sin that anybody has committed? They said there were one that we do not renounce, we do not say it ever. So I suffered that, and I told him, sorry, don't cross your boundary. So they kept quiet, and they were looking at me how it will play out. It was about 2 weeks to delivery. One doctor, she went for an antenatal. One doctor said, the way your stomach is protruding, I don't think it's one child. It can't be one. Go back and do it. So went back. And the doctor said, it's a miracle. Real miracle. Oh, yeah, go to the light of joy. Said, one was hiding under somewhere. I will tell you who it was. My uncle is here. Praise God. Don't talk. I didn't say anything, no. I'm warning you. If he calls me today, I say, what did I go and say? I know who said it. Praise God. Say, I was hiding. It is why will I get money to go and buy baby things? I only bought for one. Because at that time, I think I traveled abroad. So I had extra code. I just bought for one baby and liquidated the rest and enjoyed myself. I say, Look, nonsense, worry. I began to run up and down. Yeah, it didn't imbalance. I just had to stay behind. And then when it now came for the time when we're going to do, they said, you can't bring this baby to town. Those babies came out at 7 months. They couldn't come to town. They said, if we miss the 7th month, it is 10th month. So those were having babies, twins. I don't know whether it's true for everybody. I told Pastor this morning, you don't trust everything but doctors say. In any case, for us, it was 7 months. And they now said, you can't birth these children normally. They must come out by CS. And my friends came and said, let us believe God. Let us pray. Rabo sopra. I said, bros, when your wife when your wife has twins, you pray. As for me and my wife, let her go and do the operation. Oh, in effect, what's the problem? You can abuse me after, but this one, I want my wife to be okay. I want my children to be okay. We cannot talk about this faith issue afterwards. You know, funnily enough, I've not made fun of them since. His wife too had a similar problem. I wanted to tell him, bros, oh no, she do faith. But his wife was a life-threatening situation that had to fly out of Nigeria. She got into UK, and when the ambulance came to meet them at the airport, wheeled her to the operation, so they took her to the CC car, and she had an accident on the way to Akure. And Nigeria did not know that she had internal bleeding. That's Nigeria for you. May you know our problems in Nigeria. Amen. In Jesus' name. Because if she had stayed in Nigeria, if her husband was not a multimillionaire, I would have looked for another wife. We went to see her in the hospital. She was already decayed. And they did not even know what they were doing. And the doctor, and it was because our senior brother was a medical doctor. He used all the leg, everything. He came back and said, your wife has only 30 minutes to leave. We have to take her into operation. Sign now. There was no time to be talking English. The brother put hands. Bah, he didn't use feet. Maybe when I see them next, I will now make four. Praise God. May God give you spiritual sense. The wives of two of us are alive now. Hallelujah. We can rejoice. Hallelujah. So you that said I did not have feet. Like I always tell people, Okorijo. Iyawopa. Glory be to God. Ojotiku. Awa okay. Hallelujah. Where did I stop? I have less than 5 minutes. God have mercy. So the Bible said that there was this that fell on stony ground. And it brought no anything. Because the heart was hard. It was this heart was hard. Nothing could penetrate it. But the boss of the hair came and stole it away. Can we read it properly? There's something that I want to catch. Here the understanding. He said, and when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one will come, snatch it away, which has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. I call them the roadside heart. This roadside heart, nothing will grow on it. Nothing will grow on it. Because there's a lot of traffic. You see a lot of traffic along that path. There's a footpath. You can't sow your seed on footpath. Where people pass every day, nothing will come out. So that kind of heart, you see a lot of traffic taking place. What was the sin of Lucifer? In the book of, as was revealed to us in the book of Ezekiel, he said, you corrupted your heart because of much traffic. A lot of traffic. What is traffic? A lot of thoughts, a lot of imaginations that were against God. A lot of, it was buying and selling. A lot of transactions were taking place in his mind. He did not control his thoughts. So that's why iniquity was found in you. Iniquity is not sin. Iniquity is rebellion. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. It seems like you commit fornication. No, iniquity is worse than a person falling into sin. Oyato, this guy is a rebel. He took time to build himself up to become a rebel. You know, it's difficult to convert Boko Haram. It's only if Buhari that thought that you can rehabilitate Boko Haram. I heard recently that Boko Haram people stole Nigerian guns to everyone and went back again to the forest to start their Boko Haram. You can those guys committed treason. They should have been shot. But that's still for another day. The heart by the roadside is engaged in so much activities. It's called the flesh. That's the way Paul called it. That the mind earthly things. They have nothing about heaven. So the Bible says that there's no way they will understand anything about the kingdom. They are worldly. And they have them in the church. They're in the church. Then verse 20 says, and the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. Where is that? Stony places. I call the stony heart. No, there's the roadside heart. There's the one that has stone. The same is it that hear the word of the kingdom, and immediately what does he do? He receives it with joy. He's happy. After pastor has preached, he said, oh God, Ramos Sandele Mrenama. Yeah, I feel him the spirit. Karabato Sika Yede Mama. Let him step out. Hey, bros, I was service. Pastor spoke. Yeah, Karam, I'm feeling the anointing. Okay, Kini, pastor, so pastor said many things. One. Actually, he can't remember. He has forgotten. Excited, but no substance. He hears the word and immediately receives with joy. 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but it is only temporal. It says, when affliction or persecution arises because of that word, immediately he falls away. Every word you hear, every word of the kingdom you hear, they will challenge you. They will do what? They will challenge you. When you hear, give, and it shall be given unto you, and you give, you step out there. Creation will challenge you whether you actually believe that God will give you back to you. That's where petrol will go up. That's when all kinds of food will go up. You now look at your salary and say, but I've given to God. And you cannot reconcile it. That was if you are not careful, you will fall away. And say, I don't believe in this giving thing. Because naturally, it makes common sense that the more you withhold, the more your thing increases. That is natural science. Spiritual science that you increase by giving. But that's the nature of God. So you have to find a way of plugging into that reality so that it can work for you. It's a lesson. Look, Israel was in the desert for 40 years to learn one lesson.
that man will not live on bread alone. 40 years. Many of you are still repeating the class of give, I shall be given to you. You have not left that class. May God have mercy. Then the third one. And the Bible says, because of affliction and persecution, they will persecute, they will challenge you. There's a two. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. This is one that you must be careful about. This one is the one that is most dangerous. It's the one that heard the word. It answered the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. What did they do? They choke the word. The thing grew. The thing had hope that it's going to produce something. Heaven, you know, God said, he was talking to Isaiah, said, I planted a vineyard and I was expected to get harvest. And he kept coming. After 3 years, there was no harvest. He said, I would destroy the vineyard. And the man who took care of the vineyard said, Baba, take care easy. Give us a few more years. If it doesn't produce, come and destroy it. That was the story of Israel. They did not produce fruit. So who goes to plant without expecting fruit? I don't know of any stupid farmer that does that. Even me, that I have no company. When I plant maize, I will always go there to check it. How far, boys? I'm expecting something. Hallelujah. But the Bible says this thing grew. But what happened? He said the care of this world. Now, if I were to write my commentary on this, I would say the legitimate cares. Legitimate. Because you may think that it's illegitimate. No. The legitimate cares are as dangerous as the illegitimate cares of this world. One of it, Paul warned us, said, why, women? Said, when you marry, your attention will shift to your husband. That is a legitimate care. But he said, you will stop loving the Lord as you used to love him when you were single. When you give birth to children, your problem is multiplied. Praise God. The days, sometimes you used to pray, you will not be able to pray. When you used to do, let us go and do Bible study, you will not be able to do it. Because there are so many cares. Then when you start walking, you are living on mainland, you must go to island. Who wakes up at 4 o'clock and is doing quiet time? And you know, some people said, we're doing quiet time in the bus. Carry. So I don't envy you people in Lagos. I don't know how you are still in the faith. I believe this is one of the miracles of the 21st century. That you are still in the faith. With all these problems they have put on your life here in Lagos. Accra, we have nothing chasing us. And we are not chasing anything. Our life is okay. Hallelujah. Contentment is great gain. Yes, hallelujah. I read of a story of an American that went to somewhere in the Philippines or so. I saw this fishermen, after they've come back with their fishing trolleys, with their fishes, after around 10 o'clock, they had sold their fishes, and they went to the beer parlor and they were enjoying. And the American called one of them and said, young, why are you wasting your time like this? He said, what do you mean? Ah, the little money you made, you should not be using to go and be enjoying. He said, what should I do with money? He said, gather money and buy more fishing boats. He said, hey, when I buy that, go. Says you will now catch more fishes. Say, okay, when I do that now, that money you invest it again and buy a bigger one. He said, okay, now. When I now buy a bigger one, call, say you now, so whatever you make, you now invest in stock. Say, okay, now. So after I finish investing in stock, you cannot come and retire. Say, what am I doing now? Am I not enjoying my life now? Why must I go through all that problem? I'm already enjoying now. Can you do that in Lagos? I doubt it. Your landlord will never let you do that. Is anathema. So the Bible said this, that he heard the word, said the worry of this world, this will cause the worry of this world, and the deceitfulness of wealth. Those have explained to you, all the running around, I must do this. I was telling Pastor Downsu yesterday, I said, you know, the world is such a funny place. If you don't build house, they will abuse you. Glory Bruku, Oluturukunironu, Ole Shishe, Ole Rale, Ole Gwen. Like your parents are saying, Oh, T. Marry. Baba married, or like Pastor said, they'll give you, take one and buy. I'll get one for free. No, they will not give you one for free. They will give you 10 for free.
Now you now enter another problem. Orishirishi. Praise God. Now you now build house. And you are very stupid. You want to go and build 2-bedroom flat. They will abuse you. It's look at what your mates are building. They are building land in Lekki. Is it Lekki? Snake, banana land, snake island, crocodile island. You are just building 1-bedroom flat apartment. You are a useless buffer. You are a disgrace for our family. And you now say, God, have mercy. You now start struggling. You start struggling. Because you too must enter banana island. It caused deceitfulness of riches. You are chasing wind. You are chasing wind. That the world cannot mix with us. The Bible says these things will choke. That you will not be fruitful. You will not be fruitful. Then he said the fourth kind of land. And now I must close. I've exhausted my time. Because I'm supposed to leave by... Pastor, just give me 2 minutes. 3 minutes. 4 minutes. Amen. Oh no, only by me. It was only God in heaven that can save me. Hallelujah. 23. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil. The Bible called it a good soil. He says he heard the word. He was there to hear the word. And the Bible says he understood it. That means understood it. And it brought forth fruit. Another translation said that he patiently endured with it. He stayed with that thing. He cultivated it. There was a time line. Am I making sense? He stayed with it. Just like any farmer, when he plants, he stays with what he plants. Because I've noticed by experience that after you're planting, weeds will come up. You don't beg them. They normally are anointed for that kind of operation. So for me, that I planted and I left the place. And the last harvest I had was a miracle harvest. Because I didn't go back. Okay, after one weeding, I didn't go back there. But I saw that the weed and my maize were competing with each other for height. So I lost. I had no hope of getting anything. Only to get that I found that I got a reasonable harvest from the land. But I didn't go back again. You know, I don't have time for it. But I learned a lesson from that. It said that you have to persevere. You have to stay with it. Because it does not normally appear that what you have received has any measure of life in it. You have to stick with it. It takes time. Look, I told you that every truth of God is a seed. When I tell you that you are blessed, it takes time for that thing to sink into your heart and be established. Many of you don't walk around with the understanding that you are blessed. Your blessing is dependent upon whether there is money or you are happy or you are sad. Your being blessed has nothing to do with your natural condition. Because, again, there is a seed you ought to have planted. It's called that seed of citizenship. That your citizenship is of heaven. When an ambassador of any country, especially in Nigeria, is in Nigeria, the American ambassador is not influenced or affected by anything that is happening here in Nigeria. It doesn't affect him. He doesn't care. If your petrol is worth 20 million per naira, it doesn't concern him. If they had to fly in petrol for him from America, they would do it. Because he's representing a nation. His welfare is that of his nation. It's the business of his nation. And it comes with that understanding. Many of you have not dropped that understanding in your own minds. That your citizenship being of heaven automatically makes you, makes you the responsibility of your own government. Your home government is under obligation to take care of your need. Not the other way around. But see, we are run up and down thinking that we are just natural men. You don't understand me. That understanding needs to sink for you to understand that you are not a natural person. I had a testimony of a sister that did a contract in all these government offices and they were owing her money. And she went in to see the commissioner. And when the commissioner said, yes, yes, what can I do for you? You know that I'm busy attitude here. What can I do? The woman said, I'm a spirit. I've come to see you. The man jumped up. Kilo shele ma kilo shele. E jemi lowo.
Now, is it lying that she's spirit? The Bible says, what is born of the spirit? Spirit. She's spirit. And the man had to quickly make sure that he was paid that afternoon. Now. They wrote a check for her. Because any to her best, okay, spirit. If he brings out the instruments of spirit, your life is done. Praise God. But it's understanding. It takes time for that thing to sink. You have to invest time to get these things into your system, into your heart, and then it begins to grow. And you are removing all the weeds and all the things that will block it. That's why the Bible says some produce 100-fold, some produce 60, some produce 30. It's the effort you put in to make that thing grow. I want to close today. I want to ask, do you know your heart? What kind of heart do you have? You need to talk to God. He said to the prophets, I will give them a new heart. The New Testament was clear. He said of Jesus, about the blood of the Lamb that was shed in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 9. He said, it was shed to purge our consciences from dead works. I said to you that what died in the garden, that I said it was heart, was actually the conscience of man. His spirit didn't die, his conscience died. Because out of that conscience comes the forces that governs your life. They have to give you a new conscience. They have to purge that old conscience from dead work. Because from the actions that emanate from your heart is determined by the conscience. Conscience is not that you know good and evil. No. The conscience is more powerful than that. Paul said that people who gave away, who disregarded their conscience, made a shipwreck of their faith. So without that good conscience, not a conscience that came from your morality, because many of you do not know that there's a difference between morality and righteousness. You can be morally upright and be unrighteous. Yes, you can be. That's why you have to differentiate between good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5 said they are by reason of their use, their senses, they've been able to differentiate between good and evil. Many people cannot differentiate between good and evil. They are still just running up and down the whole world. You can't continue like that. That blood purges conscience. It purges your heart. Whatever the enemy has planted, the blood has a capacity to purge it. So that fresh truths can be established, can be planted in your heart. Please watch your heart. Keep your heart. Don't let the enemy walk on your heart. Demas became careless with his heart. That with all that he saw, with all that he had handled, Paul said that Demas has forsaken me. When he forsook Paul, he also forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. Say he loved this world and he has gone to Thessalonica. Please don't go to Thessalonica. Don't go there. The Bible says people have evil and they departed from the Lord. Don't depart from the Lord. It's easy to depart from the Lord. Let me give a life story and just to explain what I mean by departing from the Lord. Because you have to be careful. Many of you don't know Babbage. Years gone by, when I was young, I lived in Lagos. In case many of you don't know, I was born in Lagos. Praise God. It was, don't worry. Ministry took me to Akure. I should have been established in Lagos. I would have been a big boy. None of you will know me. You will not know me. I would have been a billionaire. But I would not have been in the will of God. You say, but Pastor, I would not have been. But God, both of us know. If I had arrived in this Lagos, I came here many years ago. One taxi driver picked me and we're talking. I said, God, what are you doing now, correct? If you come to this Lagos, you will hammer. With this thing you are saying, you will hammer. It's not him that runneth. It's not of him that willeth. It's God who shows mercy. But that's not my... Well, what was the story? So I went to Babbage. And we were playing on the Babbage. The original Babbage, not the one you guys are doing now. I remember I stood playing and the waves will come and wash. The waves will come and wash. But before I knew it, I turned back and all my people were far away from me. How the sand dragged me to the edge of the Atlantic Ocean, I knew not.
Before they cry, where are you? I did not know it. When the tides were pulling me, they explain it. The sand is like a roller, yes, under me. It was just dragging me. I just feel like I think it was dragging me, and I didn't know that I was being dragged. You have to watch over your heart. That's why you have a pastor. That's why you have brethren. Your heart is not always in the right condition. They should be able to say something is not right with your heart. And you should be open for correction, for rebuke in righteousness. So that because this heart is deceitful, like I told in the beginning, I did not know that I had that kind of heart. That I had pride. I had ego. I had all kinds of things running in my heart until God exposed it. Praise God. I want us to pray this morning. I want to pray. That song says, open the heart, eyes of my heart. But beyond the eyes of your heart being opened, I want to pray. Lord, any wickedness, anything you did not plant, expose and destroy it. Let the blood wash my heart. You need help. You need help. There was a man called this man, this Pharaoh, whose heart hardened. He will not yield until God destroys him. The end of every heart that is not right is destruction. Your heart can be in any of these four places at any time. It's not a constant thing. You can move. You can have a good heart today and have a bad heart tomorrow. It is you that can by the Holy Ghost say, this is where I am. I don't know where you are this morning, but I want you to ask the Lord, take me from where I am to that good soil. I want a good heart. A heart where I can receive, I can understand, and I can take care of the heart. Your heart is a force. It creates the forces that will govern your tomorrow. It will determine your eternity. Commit your heart to God. Bring your heart to God and say, Lord, examine me. The priest said, Lord, examine. The prophet said, examine me. Examine me if there is any wickedness in me. If there is any wickedness in you. The psalmist did not know that there was wickedness in his heart until heaven exposed him to the temptations of Bathsheba. What kind of heart do you have? You think you are okay, you may not be okay. Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I may see you. To see you I lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
I want to see
you. Lord, we want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high. To see you high lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Father, I pray for your people this morning. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. We have not come to you on the strength of our righteousness. We have not come to argue our cases. We acknowledge that we have failed you. We acknowledge that we have allowed our hearts to entertain thoughts that had no business entertaining. We acknowledge that many thoughts of unbelief, many thoughts of rebellion, many thoughts of wickedness have run rampant in our hearts.
We've not checked the way our hearts have been interfacing with your word. The word has come and it has not produced fruit yet. You have no desire to waste your time, to waste your seed on a people that will not yield fruit. I ask for mercy. Forgive us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let your blood purge us from every unrighteousness. Let it purge us of every wickedness. Let it purge of any wrong inclination to evil. The Bible says the heart of the prophets have deceived them. They have seen vain visions. Father, whatever vanity we have beheld in our hearts that has held us bound, I command deliverance in Jesus' name. I break the power of those wrong lifestyle, that thing which is producing death, that knowledge of good and evil that is guiding you, think is divine guidance. I rebuke that lying spirit in your life in the name of Jesus. I cast out that unclean spirit and I command purity of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, that from there you begin to discern between good and evil, and you begin to know what the will of the Lord is, and you begin to interface rightly with the word of God, keeping the seed until it produces fruit in your lives, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.